You know him. He's on the station all the time. Does a great job covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. That's Tim McManus. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thanks, guys, for having me. What's going on?
I feel like we're talking about a loss. Not because the game almost slipped away, but because there's this gray cloud about the wide receiver position just hanging over all of us. We all feel it. We all know it. If DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey are seriously injured, or if DeSean re-aggravated the injury, we're in big trouble as a team, as a fan base. What do you think is the latest? I know you probably, I don't know if DeSean was able to talk, if there was any kind of mood, any kind of whispers. Doug said it was a, you know, a precautionary measure. Tim, I don't believe him.
Well, even in that response, he said it was precautionary when kind of given that out, but also so that the plan was to play him for the entire game. They only ended up playing a series. So that tells you at the very least that, Jackson was not feeling very comfortable with the injury. As we've talked about, this is going to be a pain tolerance thing for him, that he is not going to be 100%, it doesn't look like, for the season. And then once you get out there into real action, you know, what does it feel like? How much is he hindered? What's the pain level? Those were all kind of unknown entities heading into this game. And we saw that he lasted just one series. So what does that say? I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that he hurt himself more. It could simply be that he went out there, wasn't feeling right, and they decided to kind of shut it down for this night with a bye week coming up. But this is could be an ongoing saga in this season of do you have Jackson, do you not have Jackson? And I couldn't help but think, just kind of like you guys are signaling here, that a lot of the conversation this week and through the bye is going to be about those wide receivers kind of lamenting not getting Emmanuel Sanders or Josh Gordon, and people talking about Antonio Brown. And I can see it now. Wide receivers are going to be front and center here.
So what happened, Tim, with the Josh Gordon thing? Did they ever put out anything to you guys about whether or not they just didn't want to deal with the risk that Josh Gordon comes with? Because Jamie and I are on the same page. Yeah, there's a risk to it, but there's a very high reward if he ends up playing for you the rest of the season.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only team that put in a waiver claim for him was the Seahawks. And, you know, the rest of the 31 teams passed on him, including the Eagles. I think that, you know, there's a lot that kind of comes with Gordon. We've seen him jump from team to team and obviously have his deal of personal issues. And, you know, they never explained to us what happened. Certainly we'll inquire more as we go along here. But if you think about the way that the locker room has been this year and the different kind of things that they've gone through, you know, they have to have a sense of stability, I think, with their personnel, and would Gordon provide that? So I think that's part of the factor. You know, it's not so much people are going to be questioning those kind of moves, but also I think it's right to point out or to question kind of the thought going into this season and did they set themselves up well enough for success with, you know, this older receiver group in particular. I mean, that's one question that's going to be popping up.
And Alshon and DeSean Jackson's contracts make them all but guaranteed to be back next season. And that brings me to my next question. We saw Alshon Jeffrey come up with a big third down catch. He got up and he was clearly limping. I think he's been playing through injury the entire season. His calf, he hasn't been the same. Has he lost a step? Possibly. But it's clear that his calf has been aggravating him. Is there any word on Alshon's injury down there and kind of if this is something 2 weeks of rest will be healthy or will be good for him that he can get through? What's the latest on Alshon's injury?
Yeah, it looked like he went and got some x-rays, but there wasn't anything, you know, in the locker room. Like he stood at his locker, answered his questions, nothing. There wasn't any signs that there was something like really significant going on. You know, that being said, I think that you're absolutely right that he's been playing hurt pretty much all year, that calf injury, has hindered him. And while, like you say, he could have just naturally lost a step, I think that injury, has played a part in this. He just hasn't looked like himself. And then add on top of that, three drops tonight, just totally unacceptable, to have that out of what's supposed to be in this circumstance, kind of your 1A wide receiver. So this is, and Jordan Howard was another guy that got banged up, and they're going to have to see what that's all about. I think it was his ankle. So, you know, this is a group that's dealing with a number of injuries, looked like it was getting healthier, suffered a couple things in this one, and I think the bye is coming at a pretty good time. You got to get this veteran roster some rest.
So what do you do, Tim, if you're Howie Roseman, if you're Doug Peterson, you're going into the bye week? Yeah, it's a nice chance for some guys to get a little bit more healthier, but it's also a chance to look around the free agents out there. The Eagles they decided not to make any trades. They didn't make the trade for Emmanuel Sanders. We were all on the same page. We didn't want them to give up a second-round pick for Robbie Anderson, but the Eagles need help at the wide receiver position because today I see you can't trust DeSean Jackson because he could go out there, he could say he's ready to play, and then like you said, in one series, he could be out. So do the Eagles need to go out there and get a free agent wide receiver? Is that something you think the Eagles will do?
Well, I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot out there with the exception of Antonio Brown. I'm sure that he'll be a focal point in Philadelphia this week and for the next couple weeks. But, you know, the NFL at large seems to, at least at this point, be kind of staying away from him. And I don't know that you're going to find the answer outside. I think that you have to find it within. And I think that we've come to a point in
sorry
the
to laugh, Tim, but where?
Well, listen, here's the answer, in my opinion. I think that the Eagles have to be very real with themselves about what they have. What they have is question marks at the wide receiver positions, but they have two very good tight ends.
Yeah.
And they have two good running backs.
Yeah.
And so that is the answer. I mean, the answer is, like New England did when they had their dual tight end threat, lean on them heavily, lean on the ground game heavily. Do not go through multiple games where Zach Ertz is like not getting targeted. That's unacceptable. What you have to do is feature him. You have to feature Dallas Goedert, and you have to feature these running backs that, along with the offensive line, have shown that they have found something. So that is the answer. I mean, you can try to look for the magic bullet at wide receiver. And make, you know, different propositions about Antonio Brown and all that kind of stuff. But I think realistically, what you have to do is, as a coaching staff, just form your identity around those four weapons. And that to me is the answer.
Well, Tim, I agree with you. And I've been saying that for weeks. Here's my fear. Not much changed today. Why haven't they been doing that? And they did some in Buffalo, but there's a lot of speculation that was dictated by the weather. But it's clear this is a running team. And when they present their 12 personnel, it's a mismatch that the majority of the league cannot handle. Why do they not stick with it? And I think, you know, before the first half there, taking Jordan Howard away from the game plan was a major mistake because you had a chance to end them there. And that's my fear with Doug is while, you know, this is going to take some real self-reflection during the bye week. Not a whole lot changed today, and they haven't stuck with it. So my fear is that they won't stick with it going forward.
I hear you. At the same time, I mean, I feel like we are in this kind of sky is falling type of conversation when they are coming off of two straight wins, and I feel like they have found their footing on defense a little bit more. Granted, the competition wasn't elite on offense by any stretch of the imagination, but I do feel like they're starting to find their footing on defense, that Fletcher Cox is starting to look more like himself. Brandon Graham is playing at a pretty high level, and the defensive secondary is better, certainly, 27 total points over the last 2 weeks than it was earlier on when they were getting smoked out. You add in the fact that, you know, Zach Ertz did reemerge in this game, that Doug Peterson did scheme them up. Granted, the second half wasn't all that great, but when it mattered, you saw Carson Wentz rise to the fore and use his legs again. You saw Dallas Goedert spring loose for a key third down conversion. You saw Zach Ertz spring loose for a key third down conversion. And you saw Ertz being featured more along with another productive day from Jordan Howard. I mean, you know, so I understand where the angle is here. But I just want to throw a little counterweight to that and say that they have won two straight, that the defense is looking better. And that I think their identity is being formed a little bit more on offense. It's just something that they're going to have to, kind of stick with, I think, over the second half of the season.
I hope you're right, Tim.
Yeah, we've been speaking about, obviously, a lot of the downsides of the wide receivers and all that stuff. But you're right. There are some positive signs to look at. Carson Wentz, the defensive line, the defense in general. The tone of the locker room, Tim. Where are they at right now? Because they were doing the underdog thing just a few weeks ago. Then they lost a couple of games, and now they've won two straight. They're going into the bye. I'm feeling pretty good 5-4 going to the bye, and then you get a chance to play New England. That's going to be the real big test. But what's the locker room feeling like today? I saw somebody actually walk out when the Eagles won in one of the robber masks that they had 2 years ago. Not the dog mask, but the robber mask.
No.
So do they have that swagger back, Tim?
I wasn't feeling like a heavy amount of swagger coming out of that locker room.
Wow.
You know, certainly no like champagne bottles pops. Corks popping or anything like that. I mean, like the kind of vibe that you guys are admitting, they feel like, I wish we did a little bit better on offense in the second half. You know, it wasn't the prettiest win, but, you know, they do take some solace in the fact that they have stopped the ground from shaking underneath their feet. I mean, this team, if we just rewind a couple weeks ago, just think of how dire it seems. And they now head into a position where they're neck and neck essentially with Dallas. They were able to squeeze out a couple wins, and here they are with a finishing stretch that starts out tough, but finishes pretty smooth.
Yeah.
And most of it's at home, and they don't have to get on a plane again. And so they feel not like this was the greatest performance that they've ever had in their history, but that they have put themselves up in a pretty good position to compete in the stretch run, knowing that they have to clean some things up along the way.
Absolutely. And Tim, last one from us. This is a tough situation that the Eagles are going to find themselves in, but I think it's worthy of a conversation now. Has Jason Peters started his last game for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. I think that Dillard has been pretty good, but if Peters can come back to full health, I think that there's still a spot for him as these games get more important. I could see Peters sliding back in there. It all depends on, okay, how does that, you know, that veteran body respond? How does that knee hold up? I don't think that Dillard has distinguished himself that well. Now, maybe I'm off, but I don't feel...
Yeah, we'll all have a chance to watch the film and rewatch, but...
Yeah, like I think, you know, they did a good job against Mack and company tonight, generally speaking. But I would think if Peters can get back to health, I would still, in the home stretch, December football, critical football... You know, do you want the rookie in there, or do you want, you know, the veteran future Hall of Famer? So I would probably still say that there's a window for Peters to play this year.
All right, Tim, you do a great job covering the team. We always appreciate when you hop on the post-game show with us. Enjoy the bye week, get some time in with the kids, hopefully, and we'll see each other again soon for the Seattle Seahawks coming in town.
Yeah, I'm gonna rest up this veteran body, and we'll get back after it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.